Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this, my friends, is a Four Center podcast feed, and this is another edition of Star Wars Rank. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars, and this one was a delightful challenge today. We are going to rank our favorite characters of the Star Wars Cantina, Chalmers Cantina, Chalmers Spaceport Cantina, you know, the Cantina from A New Hope. To do that with me today is Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here and doing this. I was really happy with this topic because this is something that I want to do every time I watch A New Hope. Like, I'm usually watching it for some other reason, to just enjoy it or to analyze some scene. And like, every time I watch it, I'm just like, but I want to pause every shot of the cantina and learn every name. And this was a really fun exercise, and just spending a ton of quality time in the cantina.
An exercise indeed, in a fun Star Wars way. Even you and I, we've been around this cantina for a few decades now, Joseph. We've been around this one. But that doesn't mean you know. Doesn't mean you know everything. The names have changed. The late 80s introduced the card games and the role-playing games and all these things that suddenly give names to creatures that Kenner once called this, and all these kind of things. It was a fun thing to do, to just find out who was that, what's the story there, and connect to the early feelings for me of being seven and going, look at that little guy. Who? What is that guy doing? So this is going to be an adventure indeed.
Yeah, yeah, and you really highlighted it there. But this is one of the most unique, I think, junctures of Star Wars fandom where there is all of this Legends canon for names that also intersects with toys, you know, with, mm-hmm. you know, the old Tales of the Cantina book. But then a lot of that got reinterpreted with the From a Certain Point of View in modern canon, A New Hope book. So you and I were talking off air about it's actually a challenge to look up some of the names of these characters, like particularly we'll get to some of them, but we're just trying to describe them like sad guy near door, Star Wars. And, you know, I tried that exact Google and came up with some very interesting things, but did eventually find what I was looking for.
Yes, yes. So let's dive on in. We are ranking our favorite characters in the Star Wars Cantina. As I said, Chalmers Cantina, Chalmers Spaceport Cantina. Oh, there's a lot of names, but we love the Cantina. So let's rank our characters, starting, Joseph, with your number five.
My number five, I just had to go from the heart. I had to start with a character that I believe I've included on other Star Wars ranked lists, and I will again in the future. One of my favorite background weirdos in Star Wars, favorite Cantina creatures in Cantina characters in general, and that is Cabe. Cabe, the female Chadra fan, or to just put it in a little bit more conversational terms, a little bat lady who wants a drink real bad. Chadra fans pop up a lot. They are, like, you know, it's one of the great things about the Cantina that some of the characters, some of the aliens are like just bizarre, mind-blowing design, and some are just like that's an animal person. The fact that Cabe is a little bat creature, the name Chadra fan for the species is really fun, but really just those shots. It's the reaching up for the drink with that gimme, gimme, gimme energy in her hands. I'm on her Wikipedia page, and it says under personality and traits.
Yes.
Cabe used her annoying, high-pitched squeaks as an effective way to get the attention of Chalmers Cantina bartender Wuhair. Yes, she did. And then there's a controversial shot later where Cabe is trying to drink, but it looks like she is missing her mouth with the glass.
Oh, yeah,
which,
yeah.
You know, you can be like, well, it's behind the scenes, and they didn't really know that this film was going to be, you know, examined frame by frame for decades after its release. But I like to just do the headcanon of Cabe is very distracted of what's going on, and she misses her mouth, which I have done in bars.
I've done it home. Just look at my shirt. This is a great way to start the list. This is absolutely, I think, longtime Force Center fans will know this is a character really close to your heart for so many reasons. And yeah, just there's going to be a lot of scrolling through Wikipedia on this episode. A lot of little wonderful little morsels of cute faces and a form of currency. Cabe, Wuhair to Cabe. A lot going on. Design, though, I want to talk about the design, Joseph. That vest, the orange jumpsuit, like, you know, as a kid, you could have thought this was like an X-Wing pilot.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, all the different dress of the wearer in the Cantina is really like, is that what they want to be wearing, or is that what they can afford? You know, is that a fashion mm-hmm. statement, or is that like, I don't know, this is what I got today?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But it still continues. It you know, extends the great Star Wars aesthetic of vests. This looks like some puffy, like she went to REI to get this kind of vest. Which yeah. gives a different energy.
Yeah, to an ode to Black Widow. A lot of good pockets on this vest.
Yes, there you go. Cabe is wearing Yelena's vest. that is our new canon. But yeah, just, you know, there's only so much to say about Cabe because she is a character who's featured very shortly. But, you know, little bat lady who's gimme, gimme, gimme about the drink just is one of those great establishing shots that adds personality to the Cantina, right? And yeah. I think we're going to end up talking about that a lot. There's just like cool aliens, but what they're doing and how they're doing it is, you know, a triumph of the direction of the Cantina and one of the things that makes it feel real and lived in.
Yeah, it sets the tone for this list, but quite frankly, sets the tone for that bar going yeah. for just what you expect to look for in all Star Wars bars.
Yeah, exactly. We want somebody demanding a drink in all Star Wars bars. So that's my number five, Cabe.
Great way to start the list. We are going to my number five. And you know what? I this is a character you and I have talked about a lot. I know this is a character you enjoy, but I thought, you know, is it just, it's too obvious to put on the list? is it too much? He's a humanoid. It's a little boring. You know, you got, Shadger fans and Devoronians, all these wonderful characters. But nah, I got to say, I love them. Sideburns and all. My number five is Boshek.
Great choice.
Yeah, the pilot that Destiny called and he walked away.
And it's so there in his gesture, like, I can't help you, but maybe this guy.
Check Chewie. So, yes, that's the scene, the famous scene. Kenobi trying to get help at the bar. Chewie next in line. Boshek is given the opportunity to transport everyone off of Tatooine. We think, you know, we don't know the details of the conversation. It could have been a haggling over price, could have been busy, or Kenobi might have been like, good to see you again, pal. Maybe Boshek shows up in the Kenobi series as a drinking buddy. We'll find out. But Boshek is just one of the first characters, Joseph, that I think inspired headcanon conversations, right? Even if you didn't really know what headcanon was on the playground in the 80s of, what about that guy? Who was that guy? Who was
yeah.
he? And what would
you? You joke and you laugh now, but you know, when I was rewatching these scenes and in the scenes before him, because I got caught up when Obi-Wan is telling Luke, you know, you'll find the best of freighter pilots here. That really had a vibe. Like, I know, because this is where I hired my
yes.
my flying off here. That you joke now, but I can imagine us jumping forward in time and having a big conversation on our Kenobi report show of, all right, was it too much pandering to fans that Boshek's the one who took Kenobi off the planet? Like,
yeah.
No, he's so great because, like, he is, he fleshes out the galaxy in this very specific way of, like, he's Han, but not as cool, right? Like, he's a handsome fellow and he those big sideburns and that slick back hair. And he's like, no, I can't be doing this one. But Chewie and Han here. So he's got a little bit of a Han vibe, but he's got the you know, more familiar pilot gear.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's just kind of fascinating about him. And then the specific, you know, incredibly important small moment in fate. And A New Hope is so much about fate and choices, right? And
yep.
here's this incredibly small but important moment through the character of Boshek.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of Legends material, and he's, you know, got some Force sensitivity going on. He's from Corellia. There's a lot of things he's done. He's a veteran of the Kessel Run, not in 12 parsecs there, but I just like taking... I love all those stories and details. And it shows up again, in Freefall? Poe Dameron novel. He's there, so we know he's kicking around the galaxy for a bit. But I just love taking it also for what it is. Everything you described of just not Han Solo, almost Han Solo. And, you know, we've all maybe turned down a job and you wonder, would that be the job that changes my life? We don't know. Your life goes where you need to go. And Boshek is that lesson for me.
Yeah, and then if you want to go even deeper on Boshek, you know, I think Boshek is a symbol of that, of the deep love of A New Hope over decades that people pour and pour through the film and become obsessed with this character. And then it spun out into this, you know, real world adventure of trying to find the actor who played Boshek, which is a great fun thing to read about if you haven't heard about that.
Yes. Who's the actor's name? I'm scrolling down here. Basil Tomlin.
I got to do a deep dive and reread this whole epic journey to see it's the true crime journalist Bill Jensen who took it upon himself to uncover the name of the uncredited thespian.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, we could do a whole episode on that, as we often say. But that only adds to the mystique of Boshek that he inspired this really interesting real life thing.
Yeah, and if we're talking
there
about,
we go, Francis Alfred Basil Tomlin.
There you go, yeah, and if we're talking about Cabe setting the tone for the bar, I think Boshek definitely adds to the any character can be something, someone, and have an entire full life, legend stories and all. I love that the canteen inspires that. So that's my number five, Boshek.
I think that's a good number five. And I will also throw out there, I think we were doing a guest spot on another show. And the question came up of, you know, do you feel like you look like any other Star Wars character? And I think, and I mean, this is a compliment, I think you got some strong Boshek vibes.
That's right. Yes. Yes. I do remember that. I forget what show that was. But yes, I will cosplay at Boshek at Star Wars Celebration 2022.
Look, your general comedy stylings, you could stand at the bar and just tell everyone that you don't want to speak to them. But here's this other person you could talk to.
There you go. Love that. That's my number five. We're up to your number four.
My number four, we were real specific of we made this. Like, we weren't going to say best Cantina characters. Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it also wasn't background, so I had to be honest with myself. This is a major character known by Star Wars fans, probably not beloved by just the average normal human mm-hmm. walking down the streets. But my number four had to be on the list, had to be Wu Hair. I love the character of Wu Hair. He was one of those characters that, you know, I learned his name, and it was a fun comedy party trick to be like, if people are talking about Star Wars and be like, yeah, I love Wu Hair. What the hell are you talking about? Like, the surly bartender. And you and I have discussed many times how much this character Wu Hair shaped our own young expectations of how scary it would be to order a drink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, I was watching, much like you, watching this sequence again this morning and while we're making the list. I had that the same vibe of like, yeah, that's still sometimes what I feel like when I try to talk to a bartender.
Yeah, they got that cold energy that, like, you know, Luke doesn't know how to order a drink. He doesn't know the name of any drinks. He tugs on his shirt and says, I'll have one of those. And Wu Hair really gives him a look like, Luke, you don't know what you did bad, but you just did something bad. Was it the tug on the shirt? Was it not knowing the name of the drink? Was it jumping the line? Is it just the general air of being young and naive in that you have no place in this bar because of that? Like, there's so much in that one little look of like,
yes.
Meh.
And then I was wondering, is there just a tab? How does Luke pay? There's no pay. There's no, you know, all right, here's a drink, two credits. There's none of that. I was concerned. Luke, you got to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you flip coins at Wu Hair.
Yes. Yeah, maybe Han covered for both.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so. I think he threw a coin that somehow covered his and Chewie's tab and Greedo's corpse.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's got some lines that are, you know, well known with we don't serve their kind here and no blasters. Like, he's a great presence. Let's talk about what brings the mood to that place of, like, you know, Obi-Wan's pretty, you know, he plays this up pretty bad of, you know, you're never going to find more wretched hive of scum and villainy. And it says this place can be a little rough. You know, and Wu Hair is one of the things that really communicates that of just mm-hmm. like does not seem like a person who is getting any joy from their job mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and is just trying to get through his shift without being murdered.
Right.
Such a workaday guy. And that just adds to the vibe so well.
I love that. I love what you're saying about them because, yeah, it represents all sides of the coin. Like, yeah, everyone in that cantina is just trying to have a good time. Doesn't always go that way. Kicking out of the droids always got me as a kid. Like, I'm not someone, I'm a rule follower. People make fun of me all the time, but I like following rules. I don't like causing problems. I just like, let me try to, you know, act as best I can in social settings and bars particularly. And that always provided some kind of fear and apprehension for me when that scene began, when he kicks out the droids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do like his what is fleshed out about his character in from a certain point of view, that he survived some droid attacks in the Clone Wars and he's really doesn't like droids. I like that. That works well for me.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot to that. And even establishing that he goes home and drinks blue milk to settle his stomach. I mean, you know, there's a lot of details and. You know, a lot, any one of these characters has the ability to show back up in any part of the Star Wars story, but we're looking at the Kenobi series. We're looking at it. It'd be hard to a young Wu Hair starting his shift, getting a job, showing up at the cantina for the first time. And I don't know if I need how many times I need Kenobi to go to that bar, but I think I need it at least once in that series. And I want Wu Hair there.
Yeah, I mean, if Kenobi's show is what rumored to be 6 episodes, so you know, 2 episodes in the bar, right?
Beginning and end.
exactly, and we see Wu Hair's really rough first day that explains his whole journey here. But yeah, the bartender for me of Star Wars, Wu Hair had to be my number four.
Number four, indeed. We're going to my number four, and it is, you know, sometimes we just say the names you want and how you want to say them, but I go with Mooftak. Yes, that's right.
Nice. Mooftak.
Male towels. Towels do show up in a lot of other things, Clone Wars and whatnot, but I love this character. Towels are how would you describe them, Joseph? Whitish fur, tall, furry, bug-eyed individuals with a little... mouth?
Yeah, four eyes with a snout mouth hole thing.
Imagine just a little licorice straw permanently dangling from your face.
Yeah, they have a wiggly straw for an orifice.
Yes, that's there you go. There you go. That's a great way to look at that. So Mooftak's one of those names that... there's been different versions of it, then other names show up in other sources, legends, whatever, but this is kind of where we're settled on right now. Was a pickpocket criminal partner with Cabe, actually, according to some stories here. So again, this goes all over the place. This Joseph, you can throw all the wonderful connective stories, legends otherwise aside. The reason I choose Mooftak and love this character goes back to being 7 or 8 and just being horrified but enthralled with what I was seeing. Just what is that? It's so alien. It's so Star Wars. It's so different. It's goofy but also real. I always was aware of that character. And again, not knowing a name, it didn't matter. I just be like, the little hose mouth creature. You know that one. And then my friend would be like, oh yeah, that with the white fur. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, he's a great balance because he definitely looks alien, but the fur makes him look a little cuddly. He's not like as scary, especially when I was a kid. And I don't know why this didn't gross me out or weird me out, but I going all the way into my teens, probably until I saw more talls somewhere, I was like, is he eating something or is that a part of his body? He's wiggling it like a loose tooth. What the hell is that? Just made him fascinating.
Nicknamed Four Eyes and Spider-Man during production, during to his many eyes and furry face. I love that as well. Mold maker Lane Liska portrayed Mooftak on set there. So a lot there, but it's just one of those characters that is, it's there. You just know, and it's an inside language between Star Wars fans, which is why Mooftak is on my list, Joseph, at number four.
Yeah, and Mooftak has maybe moved up in my list of appreciation because it's so fascinating to see these different cantina aliens that inspire all this storytelling. You know, recently rewatched the Clone Wars episode that happens on Ordo Plutonio, the home of the Talls, and just think all of that just spiraled out of like, this Lucas guy wants a bunch of aliens. Okay, let's make this one. And then all of this storytelling, spills out from that.
The cantina sequence is historic and legendary for so many reasons, but I always like to think of it in that angle of just like George wanted this. George was never even really happy, but we let our imagination go wild with what we had, and look at it years later, we're still celebrating these species, most likely designed somewhere in a warehouse in Van Nuys.
Exactly.
All right, that is my number four, which means we're up to your number three.
My number three is one of the characters that I've loved for years, to the point where I, quite a while ago, tracked down his name so that when I saw him on screen, I could just say his name quietly to myself. And that is Danik Jericho. Danik Jericho will be known to people as sort of elegant vaping pipe guy. Danik Jericho is one of the reasons that when you watch A New Hope on Disney Plus, you get a warning about tobacco use content. A couple other people are vaping, but Danik Jericho is really right out in front. The reason that I always gravitated toward him is he provides this other energy in the cantina. We have some people who look like they're having a good time, people who look like they're having a fight, people who look dangerous, and he's the quiet, almost like elegant guy who's just watching. And the way he almost seems like he's setting the mood that after the violence, he's the one who just calmly turns back and goes back to his pipe.
Yeah.
You know, and it's he's so in control, you know, and this is just I'm not even going into some any of his actual backstory. Right. I'm just saying like the headcanon, the mood I had watching before I knew any of this of just like the like it's such a contrast to Luke. Right. Luke doesn't know how to handle anything or react to anything. His just youthful energy causes violence. And in contrast, Danik Jericho is the one like, all right, well, there was an eruption of violence, but now we're all just going to go back to what we were doing. For me, that's smoking a pipe and looking elegant.
there's something a little eerie about it. And it stood out to me as a kid. And this was one of the characters. It was like, it would have made my list if you hadn't already included it. But what was funny is, again, now, and you know, I've competed in trivia contests. I've studied this all my life. I kept typing in tall pipe guy, smoking pipe guy, cantina pipe guy, and eventually found it. And then I was like, oh, Joseph already had him on his list. I didn't know Danik Jericho was in it. And by the way, I've read from a certain point of view where he's featured it. It goes in and out of your brain. And you go, I think you revert back to 1983 for me, where I'm just like, it's a pipe guy, like, you know, pipe guy.
Come on, everybody knows Pipe Guy.
Yeah, Hammerhead, Walrus Man, Pipe Guy.
It's obvious. Come on. Yeah, so then his various backstories are really, really fun and interesting as well. I'm trying to find his tab again because there are so many tabs open. But in the most recent version, and I think throughout his career, he is a, you know, elegant assassin of some kind. And I think in his from a certain point of view story, he is offering to kill Cornelius as Evazan. But Cornelius manages to get himself in plenty of trouble before that. But then in Legends, it's much more evolved, much more developed that Danik Jericho here we go, was an Onsanti bounty hunter known as the Eater of Luck and by others as Death. And he had his I always struggle with this word, proboscis, the bug-like insects tendrils that unfurled from his face to do violence to people. And this is celebrated in his action figure, which you can look up on Jedi Business. The action figure comes with a bunch of holes in his face, one near the mouth that you can stick his pipe in, and then two on either side of his nose so you can stick his scary insect tendrils in his face.
Now being super familiar with all of Legends, I'm now seeing some of this stuff for the first time. Jericho drank his victim's brain matter, or soup of life, as he called it. Reasoning they were unnoticed. Jericho preyed on murderers, thieves, and thugs. Oh, he was a good villain. He was also 1,006 years old at the time of the cantina scene, according to Legends.
Yeah, the soup of life was the quote I was trying to find. Yeah, because I was not super familiar with that. The drinking the soup of life, and then that he only uses his violent skills on, you know, bad people. It's like, oh, he's Dexter in space. Cool.
Yeah, not mocking that, but just Legends, man. Legends will take it a lot of places. So I like him as a male mutant human bureaucrat.
Yes, Legends swings for the fences. And now, man, he's on my list of action figures to track down now that I know his face is full of holes so he can drink people's soup of life. So that's great additional details. But for me, it really is just his mood and energy in the actual movie that Danik Jericho is up there for me. He's my number three.
I love that. That's a great choice. My number three is a classic character, a great figure, one I even own. And it's just, you know, it just fits so well into the vibe and the aesthetic of the cantina. It is Nabrin Leeds. Nabrin Leeds is this male Morsurinian smuggler and a pilot for hire. So maybe fate could have come his way. Flew the Scarlet Vertha. Oh, you know the Scarlet Vertha. But this is a character that's best, I think, described by the action figure, which is you got kind of the long, almost like a Mars Attacks alien head with a gas mask, including a hose, going to like a white jumpsuit. This is a classic cantina character. This is usually in a cantina figure set during the Power of the Force era, I believe. That's the one I own. And just to me, that's all I need to know. Other things, other you know, stories, legends, otherwise, I don't really need to know. I just need to know that this character, who, by the way, shoots their head back when Wu-Hair says, you droids, get them out of here. Hey, droids. That whole sequence, Nabrin is the one that, like, turns around and is kind of like, problems, droids. Going back to drink. So yeah. I just love the look of this character. This is a classic Cantina character to me.
Absolutely. Got a prime spot at the bar. I have such deep love of these cinema scene three packs from the Power of the Force 2 back in the day. And yeah, Cantina Aliens with our Deveronian friend. How are you pronouncing Leed's first name?
Nabrin?
Yeah, Nabrin. I think I always went Nabrun. Yeah. And then Tequil there. Yeah, just a great action figure set. And it was one of those action figures that made me really concentrate on spotting Nabrin Leeds in the movie. Yep. And then, you know, kind of that reverse appreciation.
Yes, yes. No, that yeah, even in the mid-90s when you're starting to really, you always knew it, but that's, for me, in the mid-90s when you really were like, let's pay attention, let's get the whole story, and figures did that because that's what I think the Power of the Force figures were looking at. It was like it was paying homage to a decade plus now, 15 years at most, of us doing that on our own.
Yeah, and sometimes the action figures are like, finally, you made them. And then other times they're like, where's this guy? Yeah. I got to go watch the film more closely to find them because it's not you know, the second I have focused on. So, yeah, I think that's a great pick.
And we should point out that Nabrin or Nabrun leads four arms. That's key to the character design and functionality. So there you go.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Four arms to hold you. And again, yeah, there's nothing deep to me on this. It's just one of those, like, I have that figure collection that you pointed out there. But even before that, it just was, it's such a 70s alien vibe. And George being unhappy with the sequence, I understand it. And he goes back and tries to make some corrections later on. But this was there from the beginning, and this really worked for me. So, George, you had it more than you even thought.
Yeah, you know, and I think for Nabrun Leeds design, like, this goes all over the map from, you know, animal people mm-hmm. to super weird. Nabrun Leeds is, like, right in that sweet spot in the middle. Like, he just looks otherworldly, but mm-hmm. still alien, but still kind of weird, kind of cool, kind of deadly. Just great mm-hmm. design.
Great design indeed. Classic character at number three, but now we go to your number two. You talk about aliens. What do you got here?
I had to go to the Duros, the two Duros chatting of debatable names, a lot of name confusion, but I believe the most recent canon, there's even some bickering on Wikipedia about it, Owen Damal and Chachi Damal. Which Chachi Damal sounds like some sort of dance you would learn as a mm-hmm. teenager in the 1950s.
Yeah.
But Owen Damal and Chachi Damal, they are the two Duros who are chatting. And what I like about them is I've always loved the design of Duros. Duros is, these Duros, and there's others, are so, yet another one of these designs that's like, it's kind of evocative of the standard drawing of an alien allegedly coming to Earth, right? A little bit yep. of that.
Yep.
But green, and like, it's weird, but not too weird, but it's really identifiable as Star Wars, and it's exploded out, right, to the point where we have Shriv, we have all sorts of different characters who are Duros, and a known and beloved species in Star Wars. But going back to that shot, and the reason I had to pick these guys and go through the great debates about what their names actually are,
yeah,
is I love the mood of it, right? There's so many establishing shots, and I'm inferring by your list that you're on the same track of, there are those shots that make it feel like a bar,
mm-hmm.
like a real human bar. And a lot of times we talked about the lived in of A New Hope, that it broke the mold because it's yeah. kind of science fiction, science fantasy, but it's not all shiny, perfect white corridors of this idealized future. It's lived in galaxy. And a lot of times what we're talking about is ships are beat up, things are worn down. But what really makes it feel lived in is emotional truth from weird effing aliens in cantinas, because the way I believe Owen is the finger pointer,
mm-hmm.
the way Owen is going in on making his point with that finger, I have a very specific friend when I see that, like, that's my friend from back in Minneapolis. When he's really, he knows exactly how long it takes for the U.S. government to release nukes. And he's going to tell you in the middle of the bar crawl, and that finger's going to come out and it's going to point, point, point. And he's right. And he's making a point, and it's a bar point. And it's exactly that vibe.
Yeah. Bar point is that is definitely a thing. I have to put that in the annals of time, bar point. Yeah. Everything you're saying, I echo here of just this one little shot and then the headcanon of what are they discussing? What do they got? What's going on? What adventures are they on? Which is, again, how that first movie in this sequence alone just inspires storytelling after bits of storytelling. One shot of these two characters could really get you an entire TV series or a comic series. And then the legacy of Duros themselves. You mentioned Shriv, Cad Bane, so many. I'm on Wikipedia just looking at the appearances of the species. The scrolling goes on and on and on. Of course, the Poe Dameron comic, more and more and more. They are just a key part of the galaxy. And again, starts from just, we got to fill a corner on a set.
Yeah. Yeah, and that debate, the fact that it's just so, like, obviously they have stories in both Legends and in canon, and you can dive into reading up on what their debate is, but just seeing that, it could be the most important thing in the world, right? Because they got drinks in their hand, too, so it could be, like, how are we going to get out of this alive? How are we going to save our family? Mm-hmm. Or it could be, like, they're debating about some holo cartoon of, like, which character was the best on some cartoon in the Star Wars galaxy of just, like, some totally inane, totally not important bar conversation too, but it's heated because they're drunk.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And I want to, this has popped up a little bit. I want to discuss maybe now with you here is we have of that generation where we grew up where the Kenner figures were the names we thought or all these things. And we didn't have all the resources, maybe a Starlog magazine or something like that occasionally, or a book that eventually would come out. It wasn't the late '80s, especially mid '90s. This explodes. When you hear a lot of these stories, Legends otherwise, and you get their names or from a certain point of view book, which spent a lot of time in the cantina, understandably, is there a part of you that still doesn't fully connect to those stories because you're just going back to the first time you watched it and going, alien dudes?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a part of me that wants to be able to just experience it as what it originally was, which is this moment of flavor and you don't know the answer, so you kind of have some fun. Yeah. Having it with a headcanon. Like, I always want to be able to embrace it that way because I lived with it that way. So that for me personally is a part of the magic of, like, you know, this is, you know, an important conversation, but you kind of don't know the exact nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that I didn't personally read the tales of the Mos Eisley Cantina as a kid, and I know, mm-hmm. you know, or as a young man, and I know they are really important to people, and I don't want to poo-poo them in any way, shape, or form. But now there's just this little bit of frustration of, like, between from a certain point of view, A New Hope, which was kind of Tales of the Cantina Redux, there's so much confusion. So even when I'm in the mood to be like, I want to know their story, like, whoa, yeah. It's a mess. It's the Cantina aliens and Jabba's palace are both just kind of a mess canon wise.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it doesn't mean that I don't want these stories. I enjoy them, and sometimes it is a fun afternoon to just scroll through Wikipedia. As we're putting together this list, I got distracted by looking at some of the stories, the differences behind the scenes stuff, how much the figures did factor into some of the namings and confusions later on. But yeah, I just asked that question because I definitely know that's where I feel, where sometimes I just go, that's cool. It's still Pipe Guy to me, which, you know, doesn't mean, again, I don't want the other stories. It's just, it's funny how that always seems to be present when I think of the Cantina.
Yeah, it is present for me. And I think sometimes when I've tried to do like a deep dive, like I really want to know who that character is, there's just a frustration because sometimes there's just still disagreement about names and backstories, which makes it easier to embrace the mystery.
Well, the Duros are number two, Owen and Chachi. Chachi Damal sounds like a character that you know, a young De Niro has to get money from in a mob movie. We're going to go to my number two. You talk about confusion. You want to talk about, wait, what now? And figures leading to that confusion. I'm going to Takeel. Not to be confused with his brother Zutton, but to be confused with his brother Zutton. Takeel was a Snivian male, worked as a mercenary. And yes, this is the Snaggletooth characters. Yes, the big confusion. Takeel and Zutton were both present in the cantina. Yeah, they're both were there. Takeel was a spice addicted Snivian, by the way, little detail. So we can get into all that there and the classic Kenner figure mess up and mix up. But the real reason I chose tequila and why tequila is high on my list is while Chewbacca and Han are talking with Obi-Wan and the stormtroopers come over, tequila's just right there in the foreground. Looking so confused, but also looking like, what's going on here? Not wanting anything to do, but also wanting to know everything about it. And then a little bit later on, there's kind of another shot of tequila just kind of sitting there. Just a great look. It's a again, simple, almost sci-fi, delightfully corny sci-fi design, if you will, but just now fits so well into the Star Wars universe. You don't even think twice about it. Yeah, a little snuggle through the guy. But I just love the expression on Tequila's face, which is funny because it's kind of an expressionless mask.
And yet there's so much expression, and it's an expression that's a backstory I like, because that expression does look like it's enjoying some spice.
Just think, like, it's Tequila's just sitting there going, oh no, the stormtroopers are onto me. They're onto me. They're coming for my spice. Oh, I know they're coming for these guys. Who are these guys?
It's a mask, and I don't know that any of it was intended, but like, it, Tequila looks like I feel when there's some conflict behind me at a bar, and like, is this going to be a problem for me?
Yeah. I'm just sitting here, man. I'm just sitting here.
Just trying to enjoy myself. Just trying to have a nice time.
Then the confusion, because I made the list and I started writing down Zutton, and then realized, nope, that Zutton probably not the correct one, but also not incorrect. But Zutton you see prominently later walking around the cantina outside when Luke and Obi-Wan are kind of going around. So confusion all around, Joseph. Confusion all around. Thank you, Kenner.
Yes, absolutely. With the two action figures, right? The shorter red and the taller blue.
Yeah.
In Zutton, a lot of action. When you Google Zutton, you get a little, more action figures. You get Tequila in that cinema scene. But for me, I think just there's always been that weirdness of Snaggletooth. I have a relationship with that action figure. It's like Tequila / Zutton won the action figure lottery, right? Because you had four cantina characters. You had Greedo, main character with a name. Mm-hmm. Walrus Man, obviously, Ponda Baba features prominently. I guess you could say that Hammerhead, Moma Nadun, won the lottery, but definitely like a super weird, super distinctive alien. But then Snaggletooth, like really, like that's a prime spot. Like if any of these other aliens that we are listing, if Cabe had been the fourth action figure, everyone would know, Bat Lady.
Right. Yes.
In this different way from our generation, and have that. And Snaggletooth is one of these fascinating characters, like from our generation growing up with those figures, made the cut of only four cantina creatures. And then to have such confusion about, like, and now who is he? Zutton? Tequila? What's his deal?
It's so funny. You're exactly right, because we're talking about just going back to our early days of watching it. He was like number four in the depth chart. He was playing. He was in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
There's so many other characters in that cantina that, some will mention honorable mentions and they jumped out. But yeah, you didn't really find out or care about the other characters until later on. But Snaggletooth, the figure and everything, that was right there from the start. You're so right about that.
Yeah, really, it really elevates old Zutton Tequila.
Yeah, and again, I'd love Tequila. Sitting there with the stormtroopers come up. If you're listening, I guarantee you'll never not see Tequila again. You'll always be focused on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And dig in more to the great Zutton Tequila debate. But that's a great number two.
Thank you, sir. I was doing some scrolling even now going, whoa, I'm confused already. So that is my number two. We, as always, are going to take a quick break, reset, come back with some honorable mentions, and then our number one. Most favorite character from Chalmers Spaceport Cantina. Stick around here to Star Wars Rant.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Force Center and Star Wars Ranked. I'm Tom Napsuck, and I'm here with Joseph Scrimshaw. We are about to unveil our number one choice, each of our number one choices for most favorite character in the Star Wars Cantina, Chalmun's Spaceport Cantina, the bar at the center of our Star Wars-loving hearts. But as always, before we get to our number one choice, we have some honorable mentions, some denizens of the bar that almost made the list. Joseph, what are some of yours right now?
Yeah, my first one is one that I had to work hard to find the name. It's a character I have come to enjoy more as I stare at the cantina, and it is, of course, that beloved Star Wars character, Deb Noly.
So, I'm so glad you found the name, because it was another one I wanted to put on my list, and then how did you find that name? Because bald guy in cantina, where'd you go?
This was Sad Guy by the Door, Cantina, Star Wars, which just, I actually did, I put in a depressed human cantina, and I got a ton of, did you hear that ding?
No.
Did that come through? Okay, I got a new computer, so no. I wanted to, I got a text that came in on my computer and went ding, like I'd said something amazing, and if the entire listening audience heard that, I wanted to acknowledge it. No, I'm not hearing things. There was a ding. Anyway. I Googled depressed guy, got like a lot of blogs, but what I eventually did, I can't remember what the search I put in, but I eventually found this great article, written by Pablo Hidalgo that is breaking down all of the humans in Mos Eisley Cantina. Yeah. And if you want to look it up, it's starwars.com/news. And then Meet the Humans from the Mos Eisley Cantina. But if you just Google Meet the Humans from Mos Eisley Cantina, great article. And if you're not familiar with Deb Noly, he is in a shot by the door, a bunch of great exotic aliens, and it just looks like, you know, the watching a sitcom, and he's like an air conditioner repairman who hates his life, and he's just slumped over.
he looks like, sometimes I love going to a bar or hanging out at a party for a bit. He just looks like he went out for the night out, and the whole time he's like, I never should have left. I could be home watching VHS tapes right now. Plenty.
Yeah. Oh my God. I pulled him up. The quicker way to do this is just Google Deb Noly. And you get Wikipedia. He was a smuggler and bounty hunter. He sought revenge on the Galactic Empire from impounding his ship from time to time. Deb Noly worked with Bron Burrs, a former commando from the planet Nenton. This is how all these entries go. They just go deeper and deeper and deeper. but yeah, it's just one shot in this cantina full of bizarre, beautiful aliens and, you know, cool guys like Boshek and Han Solo. This guy who just looks like he is, you know, the founder of depresseddads.com.
Oh, great choice. Great choice.
Yeah. So Deb Noly had to share that. And then a couple of the other ones. The classic Deveronian. We've talked a lot about how all these aliens from this cantina spiral out. We just saw a Deveronian on The Bad Batch. But, you know, known at the time as Devil Guy. Mm-hmm. Another great design that's just this weird mix of, he is another one that just changes up the mix of like, but that's a Devil Guy. It's like the weird aliens and then Satan. and then on top of that, his name must be said with great caution, Labria.
Yes, yes.
I didn't know his name until I got that cinema scene package, and it cracked me up every time I looked at it. It's like, say that name with great care and respect to make sure you are not misunderstood.
The kids don't understand why the parents are laughing, but yes, the Deveronian, the Devil Guy, might be easier to say. Yeah.
You know what's my favorite thing to see in the cantina? Say that very carefully, very carefully. Moving on, I had to include Moma Nadun, Hammerhead. Just one of the great, bizarre, weird characters, of course, you know, made much more infamous by the fact that he had an action figure. But I have a good friend back in Minneapolis who's a little bit older than me. So he was older when A New Hope came out and just always stuck with me. Did a million Star Wars sketches with him. You know, old school fan of all genre, you know, big Star Trek guy. So he was old enough to really be like, Star Wars is the new thing in science fiction, in this world where science fiction's mostly, you know, ancient reruns and musty paperbacks. It's not a big part of our culture. And he always told me, like, the thing about Star Wars that blew me away was Hammerhead. I'd never seen anything that alien, and it was exciting and terrifying at the same time because it was so deeply alien. And I've always been really grateful that he shared that with me to really get that perspective of the shock of the cantina on particularly people who are a little bit older when they first saw it.
That's great. I know what you mean too. Of my friend Dan, older by a decade and a half, and he's got that teenage experience of sitting in the theater and seeing it. I've never really heard that about Moma Nadun, Hammerhead himself, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense though.
just, you get used to it because he's like, he's Hammerhead. But then you really take a step back and like, that's just freakish weird.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Love that. That's great. Yeah. I love that perspective.
And I got a couple more, but I want to not hog the mic.
Sure, indeed. I'm going to one that, you know, quite frankly, you have to really do some scrubbing to think that you see this character, but it shows up in a lot of behind-the-scenes shots. It is the character of Katik Ked Kak. there you go. Yeah, and this is, of course, the female Yamri from the planet Huk. And in short, this is the grasshopper that's hanging out in the cantina. This is a grasshopper with bad temper and could be made angry very easily, according to the story. Her diet consisted of meat and eggs. And same goes for a lot of people. So I just love this character. I am more familiar. There's an appearance, I believe, in might be Empire of Dreams. Might be, I don't know, but it's just one of those. You've seen it in so many Star Wars documentaries about the cantina and the old stories that we keep mentioning. George didn't feel this. And even I think Mark Hamill has a line of, there's a big bug in the corner. And it is. It's just a giant grasshopper. And yes, it does not factor in greatly to the scene, to the movie, to the Star Wars saga overall. But if you ever feel about getting up on a high horse about Star Wars and dark grittiness, all which have a place in Star Wars, don't forget that there is a grasshopper in the canteen.
Yes. Yes. And I believe the action figure was like a fan choice.
Right.
I tried to look it up. I seem to remember that from us going through the action figures. I could be correct about that or incorrect about that. I apologize. But yeah, I was doing some, I looked up an article that was like the weirdest characters, and Katik was on there, and like, it had instructions for finding the shadowy shape of the legs, right? Like, does not feature prominently at all, but it is so important that Katik was there, right?
I can't say any more than that. Honorable mention indeed, just for what it is. So I also have Felty Pern Travag. am I saying that correct? I don't care. I'm saying it for the way I need to say it.
This is one that I worked hard to find the name and then ultimately didn't include. And I was so happy when I saw it on your list.
male Gotel. So Gotel's talking about weird creatures. They factor in a lot of Star Wars animation. These are the goat characters. A lot to roll around. A lot in the Clone Wars. And there's one in the Bad Batch. It's always floating around there. I believe Sid's Bar, right? Or we've seen in several places.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing is you can watch Clone Wars and you clearly they're looking to the cantina, and Filoni and team are looking to the cantina and going, what can we pull out of that? And what did we grow up talking about? And so Felty Pern Travag, the greatest poet name in Star Wars, is a tax collector, by the way, and does have a, I believe it should appear in from a certain point of view. It's not listing it here, but that would make it'd be weird if they weren't. Anyways, a goat in Star Wars, but you don't the goat part doesn't dominate in A New Hope. That doesn't really jump out to you. Yes, there's a little beard, some red eyes, black pupils, and the horns. So yeah, I get it, but I just love the fun that Felty Pern is having. They're doing some laughing, I believe, in that little moment, the sequence. And you know, you and I talk about how the cantina maybe made me personally a little afraid to go into bars as I grew up. Just I'm gonna get shot at, my arm's gonna get yanked and kicked out. But then you got this guy, Felty Pern, having a good time. So I can see it's something I want to try.
Yeah, I really partnered that scene with Felty Pern with what I was saying about the Duros. Like, the Duros look like they're having that insipid or important barroom debate. And Felty Pern looks like just laughing, having a great time. And then, according to some of the Wikipedia pages, Felty Pern is trying to make some time.
Yes.
Trying to romance. It's just like, it's so perfect. It's just like, it's a goat guy, but he's doing what many of us do in bars. he's enjoying a drink and cuddling up with someone he cares about.
There you go. So that's on my list as well. Final one for me, I'll kick it back to you, is Turka Mig. All right. Turkamig. Excuse me. I wrote it down wrong. Yurkamig. Sorry. Yurkamig. I apologize, everybody. I apologize to you most of all, Yurka.
Turkamig is the action figure, right?
I believe that might be it. As some confusion there. Oh my gosh, all the names. So Yurka, aka Turka, is a human imperial bureaucrat with high security clearance. All right, was working on Tatooine here. So think like a CIA agent working Tatooine. Is seen in the famous "Sorry about the mess" moment with Han flipping the coin. And if you watch that scene, I guarantee you'll never not see Yurka Turka again. Just kind of sitting there and has that look like, oh, what do I do? I mean, I'm an embedded Imperial. Do I do anything here? Oh, no, that was pretty cool. I'm going to mind my own business. He just stood out every time I watched it. Portrayed by actor George Stock, who did not get any credit, but George Stock, you got credit now. There you go. Yurka on my list.
Yeah, Yurka is another great just human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Final two for me on my list is Pones Limbeck. He is the Cinnatine or the Brain Guy. And yet another, like, they pop up a lot in Clone Wars, different characters, and in other animated places, and, like, it, sometimes in books. And, like, was that really in the cantina? Just a guy with a massive brain?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's on the outside. His head is a brain. And so you can see him very briefly being classically upstaged by the first alien we see, Hem Dazon, who sticks his head right in front of Pons Limbeck. But if you really look for him, you can see Pons Limbeck. And yeah, another, just love him for the variety of, like, yeah, weird brain guy. Sure.
Yeah. And so the reason I'm glad you included this character is, again, it's blink if you miss it type of thing. And if you're not super familiar with all the characters, especially for us late 80s, 90s, some of them slip your mind. So when watching the Clone Wars and some of the characters show up that are Cinnatine, I remember kind of being like, who are these stupid brain characters? Like, what is this? This is just bad. And then to find out this was there from the beginning. It humbles me as a Star Wars fan, much like a grasshopper in the corner of the bar, to know that, hey, they were already there. This was part of the imagination of Lucasfilm ILM at the time and George and everybody. And then it just makes me look at the cantina with more awe, number one, but also just look at Star Wars with a new eye. Have some fun. There's some craziness already built into it.
Right. Yeah. It's always been silly, fun, weird, crazy. Yeah. From grasshoppers to brain guys. Yeah. The Star Wars story. Final one for me is the Tonica sisters. They add a different vibe to the bar. Like, I know their story has been pushed and pulled back and forth of, are they the Tonica sisters or is that a cover name?
Mm.
The current canon tab has this fun detail of, like, the Zan sisters mentioned in Solo might be a cover name, an alias for the Tonica sisters. We get to see them on a wanted list in Clone Wars. So some great Tonica Scissor stuff, but just they've got this different vibe because a lot of the people in this bar we've been poking fun at, like Deb Noli and Tequil, look like they are not having a great day.
Right.
That they are not the height of classy and cool. But the Tonica sisters really stretch what the cantina can be. Like, they look pretty cool and they look pretty, like, whatever the style is of the galaxy, they look like they're with it, right?
Yeah.
They elevate the bar a little bit.
Love that. Yeah. I love that. Brea and Seti. And then looking at the note of the act, Angela Staines played Seti and Brea was by Christine Hewitt. And they were real life friends, were known during production as Space Girls.
Times change.
Yes. It's hard not to. They're very prominent in the cantina indeed.
Yeah. Great look, great design. Love the Tonica sisters. So those are all my honorable mentions.
That's great. So now it's time to get to our number one choice for our favorite characters in the Star Wars cantina. I'll go with my number one so Joseph can close the show with his number one. We are going to, well, he's an absolute legend. So is his band. I had to include Figrin Dan. Yeah, the modal nodes as well, but a little focus on the great Figrin Dan, the lead singer, the lead player, the lead just personality of the Cantina Band. You grew up knowing about the Cantina Band before you knew they're called the Modal Nodes. And he just stands out, of course, the Bith design, classic Alien, and then just the importance of that band, the importance of the music. Oh, we've talked about it, but happy to talk about it here, Joseph. It just made everything, tied the room together like a good rug. I absolutely love Fingerin' Dan.
Yeah, it can be so easy to focus on the music that you look past the absolutely cool design of the Bith. And again, how many different places they've shown up. And just the idea of Fingerin' Dan, that this is a part of this world. It could have easily not had musicians in the Cantina, right? It could have just been a really kind of depressing down and out place. It's just kind of the murmur and the glasses tinkling together. But it gives it so much life that there's music. And there's that one point where there's a cheer when they start the second song. People are like, yeah, I love this one.
Yes.
And knowing that that's possible in this Cantina, it makes it so much more than, you know, it is a day drink and dive. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot going on there, including regulars who are getting to hear their favorite song rocked on the clue horn by Fingerin' Dan.
Yeah, yeah. The Bith are great design. I was looking at the notes here, an 8-bit sits nearby at the booth, 7-member band. So is that their manager? Have we established that?
Manager or roadie, right?
Yeah, that could work. Sibling.
Or embedded journalist, right?
It's Quinlan Voss in a mask. The songs are great. Yeah, you talk about Dune Sea Special, Modal Nodes, and then Mad About Me being the kind of the classic Cantina song. It's just, you said it well, of just like all the stuff going on, but the music, the clapping, the applause, it just is this wonderful detail, brings it all together, and just inspired, just as a kid for me, just so much imagination, and was one of those, talked about it before and other with other characters or names, but just one of those first things I knew in Star Wars. Again, not knowing that they were the Modal Nodes, I don't think they've been named yet, but just saying, oh, you know, the Cantina Band, and the Cantina Band was a phrase, a description, and it was a group that I knew, and I was 7 and 8, and I knew Star Wars because I knew about the Cantina Band. Seems silly, seems small, but for me and a little kid in that time frame, it was big and part of my fascination with the Cantina.
Yeah, and so alien, but so tied to the real world, because the music is great design by John Williams. It does sound alien. The instruments do look alien, but it's also attached to real life. It is such, it's a great little swing. This like a small jazz group version of big band standards. And, you know, it sounds older because that was not what was really popular in 1977. Yeah. But every time I hear it, it's one of those moments that always makes me reflect on, and you know, nostalgia and looking back to the past and incorporating the past of the real world to get that effect in the movie has always been a part of Star Wars. The fact that this is, you know, music that's about, you know, 40 years old then. Mm-hmm. And just the idea, like, that's, can you imagine if, like, you know, new Star Wars came out and is like, well, you know, we're basically just going to have some really 80s synth, yeah. You know, to evoke that feeling of older times.
Oh, man. Yeah. Imagine some Elvis Costello new wave in that bar. That worked as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely great choice, I think.
Yeah, you got to include Fingerin' Dan in the Modal Nodes. That's my number one. But what, sir, is your number one favorite character in the Star Wars Cantina?
This one, I really had to go with heart of personal favorite that I've been thinking about a lot. And it is classic old walrus man, Ponda Baba. This is a prominent character in the actual movie, right? If action figures had never been made, this would be one of the characters that we know because he has this strong interaction with Luke. It's very, very interesting to be such a prominent alien because this is one of the animal guys because he does look walrusy. But there's something so alien and frightening about it. I think part of it for me, especially as a kid, seeing the movie and then as a teen, that those deep guttural noises, and you can't really see, like, where in your body is that coming from? Where's that terrible? It's so alien, and Ponda Baba makes you feel Luke's, like, you know, he's got that great when he's walking in, I'm ready for anything. Like, no, you're not. You're not even ready for Ponda Baba. He's weirding you out. You don't know how to, you know.
Yeah.
Ponda Baba, his presence in the in the cantina, in the scene, that his arm has the honor of establishing. Yes, that's what's supposed to happen when a lightsaber cuts things. You're not supposed to disappear.
Right.
Things are supposed to be severed. And, you know, later lightsabers, we learn, cauterize. But apparently Aqualish, I think, just have very thin blood.
Yeah.
That's my headcanon for why his arm bleeds so much. But just, you know, my relationship over the years with this character, I had Walrus Man. I loved Walrus Man. He had the flipper feet. As an action figure, then he was one of the first that came out as an action figure, and I saw Ponda Baba, not Walrus Man. This is great. And that action figure is so cool, and, you know, starts to really reflect his actual design in the movie with that awesome jacket. It's got some great Star Wars early jacket design to it. Big freakish face, light reflecting the eyes, and like all these aliens, you know, went on to spawn Aqualish popping up everywhere. Bad Batch really recently, that Aqualish, I think, truck driver rocking out to tunes, Oblivious. Great Aqualish moment. I've just kind of been on an Aqualish kick. And Ponda Baba, the original Aqualish, one of the original characters that when those action figures came out, Power of the Force 2, that I, another party trick of like, yeah, no, he's not Walrus Man. He's Ponda Baba. He's an Aqualish from the planet Ando. Have some respect.
Yeah. And that was what this is, the character that for me was that first big, like, wait, they named those. I was off collecting baseball cards. Now they're naming these characters now. Oh my gosh. Let me figure this out, which I loved and was just enthralled by that idea. And yeah, this is perhaps, I think, you know, next to Figuring Dan, which is why I think they're great that there are no number one choices here. I think this is the most memorable character from the cantina growing up. This is the guy that's in Luke's face, the Dr. Evanson as well. But this was the guy, the figure, you know, you didn't have an Evanson character walking around with next to Kenner. So I just, grew up always talking about this character, always thinking about this character, always being afraid of this character. He's aggressive. He's described here. Fearsome and strong, an alcoholic and ill-tempered thug who enjoyed bullying. Man.
Yeah. Talk about making you afraid to go to a bar. People will sense your innocence, and then they'll be like, he doesn't like you. It's just your vibe, man. A big, violent, scary guy who you can't understand doesn't like you.
Yeah. And if my mom wanted me to keep me away from bars, this was the character that she could point to. Like, look at that. You'll tug on the bartender's arm, and then this guy's going to come after you.
Yeah. And there'll be no Obi-Wan to cut off Ponda Baba's arm, say mothers across the galaxy. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Great choice. And I do too. Walrus Man is a fun kind of name from the past, but I love the name Ponda Baba. I love everything about it. And the backstory that has sprung up around all these characters, but especially Ponda Baba.
Yeah. And I guess I should have thrown in an honorable mention. Like, you know, we should probably mention Greedo. Greedo is, of course, amazing.
Yeah.
I think just kind of where I'm at right now, like, I've lived with Greedo for a long time, have lots of Greedo thoughts, and I've just been thinking about Ponda Baba a lot. So he took the top spot for me.
We didn't really explain our ground rules too much up top, but yeah, the Lukes and the Obi-Wans and the droids and Han and Chewie and Greedo's there, man. He's a character. His dialogue, McClunky, he speaks to us. So I've never considered him in the background of that bar.
No, he is prominent. He is a main character of the cantina.
He is indeed. So there you have it, friends. That is our list. Some of our favorite characters from Chalmers Spaceport Cantina. I'm sure we covered some you love, but perhaps some we didn't. We want to hear about it. You could even share your journeys to find their names as you scroll the internet looking for proof that you even knew that character existed. Some of these characters are like, wait, in the back of my head, was there like a bald guy kind of staring off into nothing? Yeah, there was. So there you go. You can let us know by following us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked if you want to talk to us. So we're on Instagram, YouTube as well. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. You can also get merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. We're on a lot of spots, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. And you can support us directly by going to patreon.com/ForceCenter. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. More comedy shows coming up. You can find out if I'm nearby you and if you want to get a ticket. For you, Joseph, where can they go?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. From now on, all of my content will be Debnoli-based, so brace yourself for that. And if you want some non-Debnoli content, you can check out all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
That is it for now, my friends. So for all the creatures drinking in the bars everywhere, that's our episode today. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.